the World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
What's our name?
We're men! Yes. Men on the
mission! Are you ready?
We're men!
Here we
men
go!
On the mission!
Men on the mission! Bam, bang, boom! Here we go!
Welcome to the New Gen on a Mission podcast of the North-South Connection. I'm Tim Slomka.
I'm JP.
Thanks for joining us again. As always, we're on the journey to relive the new generation era to find some of the best and some of the worst wrestling in time period often forgotten. From Brett and Sean at Survivor Series 92 to Brett and Sean at Survivor Series 97, look beyond just the week, beyond the pay-per-views and examine the weekly TV and see what worked, what could have worked, and what failed. JP, we're coming off the amazing Bears victory. First place in the division, possibly. So.
Exactly. No one's going to give like two shits about the Bears winning yesterday when they listen to this like 3 or 4 years down the line. But we don't get to celebrate these things that often. Yeah. So
First Justin Fields win. So we got to take exactly. It as this. How's everything else been?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Pumped for, been watching a bunch of Raws lately from 1993. So that's always a good time. So, excited about
this.
Yeah,
it's starting to, first couple months was like kind of a chore to watch, but it was like necessary to set the table. But now it's getting to where it's like, I want to watch it.
Right.
And get like invested all the time into it, you know, like not watching really anything else. Like I was dabbling in like some 2000 stuff, some like Monday Night Wars era stuff. Now I'm just like locked into this 93. So that's good.
Yeah. And I like the Survivor Series. I mean, I know the place to be is going to get to it. 92. That was kind of weak. Like that was just kind of the Raws around the Rumble and just, you know, kind of getting pumped for the first Raws were kind of good. And they kind of dulled down. Like I think they built for WrestleMania too early and it probably didn't help that Hogan was kind of clamoring right. around, but it's really kind of picked up since kind of the first like two after WrestleMania were kind of rough, but then it's kind of really picked up.
Right.
I think them having like the new pay-per-view and kind of pushing towards that has really helped.
I think that's what it is. And I think like King of the Ring 93 is such a great show and it's like just screams new generation era when you think of it. So it's like, I just feel like it's really getting into full swing now. So
yeah,
all the good stuff is coming.
I think other podcasts have talked about like the summers where they struggled, right, with these feuds to not blow off in prior years. Like, so it kind of gives them like, hey, these mid feuds that probably needed the King of the Ring. You know, you think of like the classic Earthquake, Jake the Snake, right? Warrior, Taker, like these feuds that were kind of building over the spring have a place mm-hmm. to kind of finally go somewhere.
Exactly.
So, all right. So we'll get on to it. We got a 524 Raw first to start. So this is the back half of the awesome Raw that we kind of did last time. So this one's taped on the same episode. But they do a great job of, you know, I know you a couple of weeks ago, you talked about how they do different openings each time. Like I thought, again, they try to make it feel like, okay, this is live.
Right.
So I like that. They went straight to the cold open though this time, but they did the announcers from ringside. So making it feel like, okay, it was live. So I really, really like that. I don't know if you have anything to add.
Yeah. So like one thing I do is I specifically don't check to see if it's live or
okay.
because I know you do. And I want to like test myself. I actually thought this was live. So like they did a good job. They did a good job as presenting as live. So, you know, like I purposely don't check because I know you do. And I'm wondering if I can like tell what is what. And yeah. the way they start this off, you know, like with the changes and everything like that, and we'll get to the match. I figured it was live, so they got me on that one.
Yeah, no, it's definitely how they present it that way. Obviously got you, and then also Vlad the super fan had a Vince Rules sign, which I laughed about. Like clearly,
yeah,
clearly stole that off of.
Here's $20, kid.
Yeah,
just hold the sign.
Yep. So. First match we got is, they kind of use Lordale again. I don't know
right.
why this old guy, like he just, man, Todd's just so much better than him, like so much charisma, but, they have Lordale kind of outside and then they kind of like a screenshot of Doink going under the ring And then Lordell kind of flexes back to him, and he's got a doink outside. So the original double doink, again, they're kind of going with this. I think it's funny. I think Lordell actually plays off it better than maybe Todd would, because he's like kind of a doofus. So I kind of like that beginning. Just adds more to Doink's mystique. I don't know if you had anything to add.
No, I just love Doink. Like the character itself is so cool. Like how they, you know, it's obviously like hokey, but yeah, at least it's, you know, at least it adds, it's nobody else is doing anything like this. So it's
right.
Gives some originality to it, you know? And I agree with the whole Lord Alfred Hayes. Like, can you imagine driving down the street at night and seeing that dude on the side of the road, like with a clown? Like how that, you know what I mean? Like
old English man and clown.
Yeah, yeah. They just, I don't know. I mean, maybe in New York they're used to that kind of thing. I don't know, but it would have stood out for me in 1993. But you know,
yeah, definitely. So this is the third time they fought. It's gonna be Mr. Perfect and Doink, the King of the Kling qualifier. I like it. The match, Perfect comes out and immediately Doink goes at him. The music's still going and they're kind of like, okay, this is, it's not like a blood feud, but it's like, okay, this is the last, all the marbles. Like, this is your last chance for the King of the Ring. So I kind of like that. They're both attacking right away. The crowd was really into this match. I thought there were multiple Doink chants. There was also a chant of there were two Doinks. So I thought the crowd was loving it for a match that went a decent amount because it, you know, included a commercial break. But it's the end of the match is Perfect throws Doink outside. I love this move that Doink does where he kind of sits up and then kind of like flops to the ground. Like no one really does it that way. Like he's got like this like oversell, like, all right, I'm getting up, and then just like passes out. Kind of like an opposite flare flop.
Right,
almost
right.
Kind of like a reverted flare flop, but I think he does it so well with the sell. He of course goes under the ring and does the old switcheroo with Doink. And sadly, this immediately fails because the other Doink gets two moves on and then immediately ducks his head into a perfect plex for a 1-2-3 and Perfect moves onto the King of the Ring. It's like
the
ultimate plan. It immediately fails.
Well, like, how much of a jobber is Doink 2? Like, that he just loses that fast. Like you know, he's the concept is to get a fresher guy in the ring, you know, who's not going to get pinned right away. And then it's like, oh, 30 seconds in, you're done already.
Immediately,
The original Doink's like, what the fuck, man? Like, I could have, you know, I was doing better by myself. I didn't need this, but cool match. Like, it's a cool feud. I think, like, I like when Raw and Superstars open with a good match like this because it feels like anything else is a bonus, and then you have like a good show because the shows are short. So when you get a 10 to 15 minute solid, this is better than solid. I think this is a pretty good match.
Right.
But
yeah.
When you get this and then you get a little bit of dressing on top of it, it's like such an easy watch. And, you know, they did this perfect. No pun intended. But I think this is one of those matches too that gets talked about in these early Raws that, you know, people talk about with, or at least feud wise. And I thought it was a solid match.
And then what's the old Saturday Night's main events thing where, you know, they have the better matches up front,
right.
And then the crappier matches at the end. Usually Backlund is at the end of these. I bet if we did some statistical analysis, Backlund's near the end. But so after the match, they the double Doinks, They don't turn on each other. Instead, they tack Perfect. And Crush comes in big time with a save. The crowd were chanting. You know, like I said, there were two Doinks. And then Crush comes in the save. Crowd's rapid for it. Crush does this awesome power slam move where he just holds the guy above his head, just showing off his strength, just faking like he's going to throw him over the top rope. So everyone was all in on Crush on this one. So pretty cool. You know, like you said, good match, and then a pretty cool ending, and really building up the feud between Crush and Doink. I just wish they would have done King of the Ring, do Crush and Doink versus Crush and Michaels. Like, it feels like that's the place to do it, to blow off that feud. So, I don't know if you have anything else.
Yeah, that's true. Well, one thing, you know, that I like about this with Crush making the save and, like, the crowd being into it is, like, I like how they, like, interweave like the feuds. Like, you got Perfect and Doink, who's had these like couple matches against each other, but it's not as much of a feud as Crush and Doink is. So like when Crush comes to make the save, it's like, oh man, it's like, okay, yeah, that's right, they're in a feud too. So even though it can be confusing at some points, it's still they make sense out of it. And it's like something that you probably haven't seen in wrestling in like the last, what, 10, 15 years. They don't do that. It's been one guy versus one guy for a pay-per-view for 4 or 5 months and then restart all over again. It's never like the baby faces are friends anymore. The heels are friends anymore. Like that's that doesn't exist anymore. So I really like that touch that they added to this match with Crush making the save.
Yeah, I agree. When you have that kind of intermixed feuds, I just feel like that's like ready to blow off. So ready to go. But next on to you.
Yeah, so from there we get a quick King of the Ring report with we get an interview with Hulk Hogan, and he looks crazy skinny in this interview. I just think he's like, you know, obviously done with wrestling, period. He's going his acting thing, but he just looks so noticeably skinny here that it's your run of the mill, you know, boring bullshit promo from Hulk Hogan and Jimmy Hart too. He's so bad as a babyface. Like I realize that. Like anytime Jimmy Hart's with Hulk Hogan, it makes him even worse. And I just like Jimmy Hart way better as a heel. So these guys are just getting so annoying when they're on the screen. For me, I don't know how you feel about it, but it's not.
Yeah.
Really,
so like, Gene, throughout every time he brings up Hogan, he's like, this is Hogan's first title defense. So like, really, I feel like they're like digging at him or just like pissing him. Like it's like subtle hints. Hogan also says Hulkamania is stronger than ever. My joke in my notes was that Hogan is not bigger than ever. But it's clearly not. Like this is such a camp down version of Hogan. So he does say Raw like 100 times. Where he's just like continues to put over Hogan on Monday Night Raw. Raw is Hogan. Just keeps saying that he's Raw, but he's never been on it. He's like been in front of the crowd maybe once. Is that it? Like he's never been on Raw.
I think just one time.
Yeah, so it's kind of a crap promo, but
nothing much there. And from there we get a Money Inc. squash. And in the beginning, they do the old $1 million thing where they call a fan out and they give him some money to shine his shoes, but then they give him like $100, but then they do like the little twist with IRS taking the taxes out of it. So they give him like what, $40, I think it was, $20, something like that. So cool character work. Like I wasn't in on Money Inc. at all in the Hogan feud. Like I didn't like them very much, but I'm starting to really like dig them now as they're kind of like, they've accepted their like campiness kind of. And like they're not trying to be like these work rate guys or anything like that and tear the roof off the place, but they're like playing a defined character and they're playing a good heel role. So like I don't mind watching them as much anymore. So I mean the match wasn't like crazy or anything, but the character work was cool in the beginning. So I was invested in it. So it was a solid little squash match they had.
Yeah, the only thing was like, yeah, he got $30, and I was like, for a minute of work, like I actually did the math. That's $1,800 per hour. That's a 3.7 million dollar contract. Back in 1993, so it'd be about $4.4 million a year. So Vince was like, "This is disgusting," and clearly, it's just Vince's some joke against IRS, the government. Like he's all about it. Like Bobby and Macho don't really say anything, but Vince is just like, "Oh my god, I can't believe this!"
Right?
So definitely losing his mind. So, but I had to do the math when they was like, "I can't believe he just gave him $30." Like. It was a minute of work.
I would have never expected you to do the math on that one, especially with all taxes and stuff like that.
All over it. So
right, you probably paused and rewound.
Oh, definitely. Yep, the exact math. So right. Standard squash match, but I like the character building here, and I think they've kind of. I know you didn't say you didn't like them, but the Hogan. I thought they were kind of good dicks during the Hogan feud. I thought they really added some like charisma to it. Their matches kind of suck, but like their attitudes of like just kind of being dicks, I really liked.
Yeah, and they probably were. I couldn't get past the whole like 1988 main event theme to it.
Right,
like, putting both like pairing them together. excuse me, with Hogan and Beefcake, and like I feel like they're better in the role that they are now. Like being kind of the semi lead heels of the promotion, and then. You know, going towards the signers and stuff like that. So
then we had a crush match. The standard squash, but what's kind of weird about this one was like the crowd really wasn't behind him. So they were like crazy from it before, but I thought they were like very quiet for him. Like he actually did like the head vice and like went for a crowd pumping thing when he did it. And like no one made any noise. So I think it was a combination of like end of the night and like kind of people didn't, they've already seen him. So I think like his fans are top for him. So kind of nothing much, but like that was kind of weird on Crush, and we kind of know where Crush goes soon. So maybe this was some part of some of it. Like he was starting to get a little bit played out a little bit, but I thought early he was like the crowd was off for him. But
well, and to have him come off the heels of the you know Money Inc. squash, it's like the crowd's kind of hitting a lull. Like when you have the second episode of a taping, and then you see these matches back to back, it's kind of hard to get into it, even if he is like a big time babyface. Right. So I don't blame him for that. Yeah, nothing really, nothing matched, nothing to really write about on that one. But next we do get an interview with Razor with Vince, and this is something like I'm all in for of character development here. Like what we talked about, like when we looked at Razor after the Rumble, like he had this like huge rise against Brett, gets in the title match, has a great match, and then they kind of just like painted themselves in a corner with him. They didn't really know what to do with him after the fact. Like, you know, he lost the title match. What are we going to do now? We pushed him up so fast. And then he faces Backlund, who, you know, it's career suicide for most people. But now he's going through this, like anger of, like, being pinned by this jobber. And he's showing, like, the vulnerability. And now he's, like, in an interview with Vince, he's offering him $2,500 for the 1-2-3 kid to have a rematch. So he's like putting money up because he's so desperate to whoop this little kid's ass that beat him on a fluke, you know? So I love the character development. Even Brett comes out, and Brett's kind of hokey with his 1-2-3 chance. Like it's kind of weird that Brett comes out to do it because it kind of makes Brett seem not as main event when he does that for some reason, you know, like, I don't know. It's just kind of playing along with it. But what did you think about Razor's development here?
Well, he's all in his Razor attitude. He the stick man, cockroach. Right. He's like all about it. Macho is great with the 1-2-3s. Like he is getting the crowd into it. Like he's definitely helping them know like it's going to be 1-2-3 kid. So I like that. I like that. Razor kind of goes that he just says nobody, he doesn't say the same way as Rick Martel, but he kind of gives the same that nobody calls Razor a loser. I wish he did it like WrestleMania 5, but he kind of, the way he says loser and kind of his accent's pretty funny, but no one does as well as Martel at 5. But, and then I do like the shift, right? You kind of talked about like multiple things that Brett comes out for King of the Ring, but I think like Brett kind of making fun of 1-2-3 kid, like kind of brings him down. Like you lose to one of the bottom guys, like you lose to 1-2-3 kid. It makes it seem like Brett should have a cakewalk over Razor, right? Like, this that should even be like a match. So I feel like that's the only thing that Brett didn't really do, right? Like maybe he didn't really mention like, hey, we fought before and you almost got me. I'm ready to go. Like surprises can happen. So that was my only thought on the Brett thing. But I like the shift to it, right? Like, hey, this is Razor's one feud and now Brett's out here. So now he's shifting to, Brett.
Yeah, and that's the beauty, like the writing, like when you look at it, like I don't like to go too far behind the scenes, but like when you look at like what they're doing here, it's just so intricate, and I think a lot of that has to go with that it's a 1 hour show, you know, like they don't have to throw all this shit out there, and you have a 1 hour show in Superstars, like you're keeping things more succinct and more streamlined, as whereas today you got, you know, 5 hours,
7 hours,
seven, and then and you include pay per views. Like, come on, man, it's like, you know, it's overload. But you know, I mean, I bet we would have killed for 7 hours, 10 hours, you know, 1993. Yep. So it's who's to say what's right? But I just love the way they're mixing everything up here, and it just keeps the show flowing consistently. Like the show, like once you get bored with kind of like the squash matches, which aren't that long, they throw something like this out there, which makes it a little bit better.
Yep. And then we got Bobby changing the channels. See, that should be your cue number one that it's not live, right? The fake.
Right.
Anytime they fake out. And we got Adam effing bomb again. With the thing. My notes just have Phil Apollo, who he fights, like, just looks ridiculous. Like he's got these big trunks and just a big fat beer gut. It has no definition on any part of his body. So standard squash match. like 2-3 minutes. Bomb takes care of him. I don't remember his finisher, and it didn't look smooth. In my notes, I maybe because Phil Paolo is so fat that he couldn't do it on him. But the only thing that kind of sucked about the match was like Bomb kind of screwed up his finisher. Besides that, he looks credible, right? Like, and I like, we talk about this with Giant and Harvey Whippleman, but like Johnny Polo is such a small guy. So again, from short, you know, it makes Adam Bomb look even bigger, right? Next to the tinier manager. So I like that pairing.
I love the pairing. I love Johnny Polo with Adam Bomb, because Adam Bomb is this like intense, you know, huge athletic guy that's kind of like mysterious. You don't really know too much about him. But Johnny Polo is like this like nerdy kind of preppy know-it-all, like smart mouth that comes out there, and you know, I love it. I love the, and it's like weird how like, I don't know if you get this vibe, but like Johnny Polo, this is his like debut in the company the past, you know, couple weeks.
Yeah. But
like his chemistry with like Vince or anybody else, it seems like he's been there. Like he seems like he's so established already. He didn't get this like backstory or anything like that. So I just think it fits together perfectly. And I think, you know, this is a good way to end a show with a guy that's a newcomer. You're not really tired of him yet. So I think it's a good, you know, squash match to end it.
Yep. Agreed. A new guy, like perfect timing to put out a new guy, right? Like,
right
at the end, right? Like where if he sucks, you know, like who was the one guy, Friar Ferguson, if he sucks, like no one knows him, right? Like no one remembers him because he's kind of at the end, but give him some time on TV. So that's it. And then the other thing that they had was then Bam Bam, they kind of have this like new interview section that I don't think we've seen before.
Oh yeah.
And Vince is like, oh, he's warming up for next week. And I was like,
it was so weird.
Like, wait, it's, even if it was taped, like you're selling that's not taped, right? And he's not going to shower or do anything. Like,
yeah, he's just warming up. He's just going to get into a lather. Like he's just going to be a pool by the time he gets to next week. So that's very weird.
Yeah. It was a very weird interview. So, but they talk about how he's got an intercontinental title match with Marty next week. So cool segue into like, hey, next week maybe he's going to be a little bit more, a little bit more happening than this kind of week.
Right.
After kind of the Doink Perfect match. So, you know, that was 20 minutes of the show. After that, it kind of really was nothing. I guess the Razor interview was okay, but there wasn't a lot.
Right.
But they're kind of saying, hey, we're going to come back next week. Yeah, title match. And I think they mentioned Duggan too. Somewhere they mentioned, I've just Duggan in my notes. So definitely trying to say, hey, maybe this week wasn't the best show, but we're going to come back pretty strong next week.
Right. I mean, judging by Bam Bam warming up, I guess we're going to get a Bam Bam Marty Iron Man match next week.
Yeah.
So, you know, a la Brett and Sean warming up in the snow. You're going to see Marty probably running in the snow training on Superstars. So
I look forward to. Vince chasing the chickens or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Similar. Yeah. So, what's your thoughts on overall on this Raw?
Decent. Not, you know, it's got a really good match on it with Perfect and Doink. So I don't want to like knock it too much, but there's a little bit of fluff on there. It's nothing, you know, crazy, but still an easy watch. You know, it doesn't, you know, kill me or anything. So
yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I thought, you know, way not as good as the last one, which, you know, I think was like an all-time Raw. This one was okay, especially the first 20 minutes is fun, and then after that kind of, okay, it's kind of standard squashes, but I think we both like Adam Bomb, so I'll give a point, exactly. Point for that. So.
Yes, sir.
On the Superstars.
Yep, we're on 529, and we open with the Tatanka squash here, which, I don't know, like... Tatanka, it seems like all he's been in lately is squashes. Like, I can't really remember
a
solid match out of him lately. Like, since, like, the Sean feud, maybe. I don't know. Maybe something slipped in my mind. But, him and someone else we're going to see later on in this show, feels like they're just doing squash matches lately. And, like, I'm okay with doing squash matches as part of, like, character building and all that, but it gets to be a little much at some time when you're like watching these all in a row, and it's kind of like, like he's not really going to do anything that wows me or anything.
Right.
So this is a totally skippable match. And then I follow that. We get a Doink squash, which was a little bit better because he's a little bit more vicious in his matches. Like he kind of adds a little, you know, a couple moves here and there. He's like more technical in his work. So you might see something different in a Doink squash, but there's really nothing like in either one of these matches that I got out of it. I don't know about you, but it was just simple squash matches.
The only thing I liked was Doink after the match, like turned around and clotheslined the jobber like into the steps, which looked super dangerous.
Oh yeah.
Which was an awesome clothesline. Like you gotta mention, like he was more methodical, more like vicious. So
right,
I like that. But yeah, kind of two of nothing. Literally, my note for Tatanka say sort of nothing.
Yeah, so, right.
It was nothing, and they had like a long gorilla segment in between talking about the IC title change. So mm-hmm. You could tell this is the end of a taping where they just ran out of matches to fill it, and you kind of could tell the crowd's kind of dead for these. So it's kind of a rough beginning to Superstars halfway through it. Right. And then we do get a Sherry interview. So she comes out. So like they've been building this massive feud, Sherry and Luna. The crowd was definitely behind Sherry. The crowd was definitely rapid for this. So like they were building something good. They've done a good job of like interweaving Sherry and Luna in, you know, different matches, different people, different times, like different ways of doing stuff. So I think they've done a really good job of that. The end, Sherry does her 1991 and gets on her knees and says, Luna's going to be the one getting on her knees at the end and say, you're going to be calling me sensational. So I really, I kind of like this, again, like building up a cool feud and something you really didn't see. Like, I can't even think of the last time kind of women's wrestling was kind of on, mainstream WWF. So,
I don't know of any. Like, I don't know of, like, you know, I don't go that far back, but like,
yeah,
as far as pure wrestling goes and not like some celebrity involvement, like Cyndi Lauper or something like that, I don't know. I can't think of really any. And there might be something. Someone's probably yelling right now, but you know, Wendy Richter, like they had something.
Yeah, Wendy Richter, probably like Mania 1 is like the last time they really had like a build for like a women's match.
Right.
You know, that this really been like treated as kind of a big thing. Like they're on almost every other week, one of them. So I thought it was really good.
Yeah, they're throwing, see what sticks, you know?
Yeah.
So after that, we get a Yoko squash, which, okay. I mean, he's another guy that's not really, you know, doing much lately except for squashes, but he has something to look forward to. So it kind of makes sense to not throw him in any matches, but I still would have liked to have seen him squash more jobber to the stars types instead of just playing jobbers. Like that's kind of still my complaint with Yoko, is they kind of fumbled him in a way, you know, like they did this big build up, have him win the Rumble, have him win the title, then lose it right away, and we know where it's going, King of the Ring. But I still feel like they just kind of fumbled his build. He's not as vicious anymore.
Well, my note again is, where's Duggan? Like, why is Duggan not? Because we'll see it in the next Raw, but like, this should either be a Duggan match or Duggan comes out and challenges him. Like,
right.
I get Hogan's not there, so I think they're kind of in a tough spot because they can't build that match because Hogan's off making movies. But, like, Duggan's the guy. Like, have him keep feuding with Duggan here. So, again, okay, but, like, this is going to be your champion, and he doesn't look like this was great when they did it leading to the Rumble, but, like, now you have to really kind of put him over.
Yeah, maybe he just almost looks bored. Like, the character itself is almost, like, bored. Like, it's not – what? How many, you know, squash matches against playing jobbers can he have, you know?
Yep.
So.
Good. And then we do – this end of taping. So this taping was, like, from 5-4 or something like that, so a month old. So they do a long Razor 1-2-3 highlight package, and I just put, they're so low on material. And I couldn't understand this, of why 1-2-3 Kid couldn't accept $2,500 from Razor. But somehow Razor said in his interview, you know, you challenge him again for $2,500, and 1-2-3 Kid has turned down this money. I'm not quite sure why.
He said he doesn't want to get hurt. He says he can't risk his health for $2,500, which, you know, he just came off of work in the Indies. So he was a type that was like the spot monkey of his era. Like, I know around this time he had like this really awesome match with Sabu in NWA Grand Slam, I think it was called. And he's just diving outside the ring, and there's a good chance he got a hot dog and a handshake for that. So to say you wouldn't do it for $2,500 is a crock of shit. But he I don't know, he comes off like very nervous in his interviews, which I'm pretty sure he was, like, because this is his first time on TV outside of global or whatever, but you know,
Yeah, he's terrible. He's a terrible interview. I mean, I get for what they're trying to go for, like this, like kind of like, I don't know what I'm doing type thing. Like I'm lost. I'm a kid. Like he's actually perfect for that. Like he's doing a perfect with it. But like as an actual interview with charisma, he's terrible.
And he's wearing the Monday Night Raw shirt. He's very generic. So that they're doing a good job of like playing him off as a jobber still and not some guy that they have plans with. So I don't like
Doesn't have his own outfit. Yep, agreed. Right. And then we got Steiner Brothers squash, right?
Yep.
Steiner, it's a quick, again, they're kind of a fun team to kind of watch the squashes, but nothing really to bring up. And then we go to the King of the Ring report again. Another Hogan interview. So at least now he's outed a little bit more. Like he's the first couple weeks after Mania, he wasn't around, but at least he's doing a lot more interviews. Still nowhere in the crowd, nowhere to be found, wrestling anyone, no challenges. But I do like that. At least they're starting to get him some more interviews. And then they did do a visual. They talked about how, King has his new interview sanctum in the King Court. They kind of showed the first one he did. It kind of looks awesome because like Giant Gonzalez is his first guest and he's massive above the set. So I like that visual. He talks about how he's going to have Luna and Yoko on it. So I really like that. They're like setting up, okay, like the interview segments with Bonnie, whoever she is, those are done. You know, we're going to have the King take over. So I did like that because I think their interview segments have kind of been lacking since they kind of got rid of Funeral Parlor or whatever the last one was. I think it could have used the King's Court.
It had to be the Funeral Parlor or the barbershop, right? And that was 92, so
yeah,
91. So yeah, it's been a while since we've had something fresh. So
yeah,
this is a good way to go. And then close out the as far as matches go with a Mr. Perfect squash, which this is another guy who. Squash matches aren't really like my thing with him. Like he's not as exciting. You kind of get the same thing every time. He kind of mails it in as far as these go. So nothing really to see here. We get Mean Gene with Money Inc. and they cut like a solid promo, which I liked. Like they're just kind of just talking about the King of the Ring match coming up. Is this the 4-on-4 match at King of the Ring? Is that right? With the two teams versus two teams.
Yeah.
Right, with Smoking Guns and I forget who
Steiners.
Else was in it, but Steiners, versus, right.
Versus
Money Inc. and the Head Shrinkers.
Yep, that's it.
So yeah, this is kind of cool that they're blending all the teams together. Smoking Guns are getting like a chance, you know, pay-per-view this early. So
yeah,
I thought this was a solid little promo, and this is 2 for 2 on their character work with them for me. So I've been happy with them.
Yeah, it's a way to get them in the card. Like it's almost like a Survivor Series type match than the King of the Ring. But like you currently have tag teams, so I kind of get why they kind of went this way to do like the super tag team match.
Right.
So that was it. Kind of probably one of the worst superstars I thought.
Easily.
Yeah, definitely. You could just tell they were low on material, just like how long the IC title and the Razor 1-2-3 Kid highlight stuff was. They like really stretched those two things out. Like that was by far the most time of the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't really think there was anything redeeming on the whole show. Like I don't think you have to go out of your way to like not even not Sherry stuff, nothing really. So I don't think there's nothing really you need to catch on that episode at all.
Yep. Agreed. The Sherry promo I thought was all right. I'll give that. That'd be it. Yeah. But it was not going. Given that I don't know if the fights like it's so disappointing because they that feud's been awesome. So
right.
On to the Memorial Day Raw.
Yes, sir. 5:31.
So 5:31. So you started off.
Yeah. So we'll start this. Another match. Another like formula that I like because they're starting off with another good match on this. Episode of Raw with Bam Bam Bigelow versus Barney, and Bam Bam is well oiled up and ready to go. He's been, you know, getting ready for a week now. So I love the way like Luna's with Bam Bam now. And I don't know if this is like what they meant to do or if they just like the visual of it when it's like fell into place because Sherry's out there with Marty and Luna kind of comes up with Bam Bam. And since the two women are in a feud, the two guys are in a match, it kind of just all makes sense. So I don't know if that's like why they did it, but you know, I like Luna with Bam Bam way more than with Sean. Like, it just makes more sense.
Yeah.
These two, like, it's such a great like cat and mouse match, like where Marty's bouncing all over the place for Bam Bam, and Bam Bam's like, you know, quick enough to kind of, you know, keep up with him enough. He's not just like this plotting big guy where he's just only doing power moves. I thought this was a hell of a match. Like, I don't like the count out. Like, you know, Marty wins by count out, but it does keep, you know, it doesn't kill Bam Bam. So I get why they did it. But like, with a clean finish, this would have been one of the better matches we've seen. Like, I thought this was such a good match to start off. And I think Marty, like, being IC champ is on fire. Like, I think he's like reinvigorated. And I think these two just make like a perfect pairing for each other, which I've said that with Bam Bam and quite a few smaller guys. So this is a great way to start the show off.
Yeah, a fun match. Macho's cheering for a cat fight. He's actually asking for one, which is hilarious. The crowd's definitely into Bam Bam, and it's kind of a big shot for him. And I wonder if people thought Bam Bam was going to kind of win this, like, because Marty like kind of won by a fluke. The crowd was definitely behind him, and like, I think. One second, my dog just walked over a computer, but it's still recording, so. He literally just walked on top of it. So, but it's definitely a big shot for Bam Bam, kind of out of nowhere. And I would have thought maybe he would have won, just because Marty, who knew about like if that was some staying party. But I do like that Marty could have been a longer IC champion. Like, I don't think they need to cut him off so quickly. I do love, so they get the count out victory for Marty, and then they kind of do another beatdown after the fact. So I like that, right, where he kind of gets his heat back. So I really thought that was good. Then Tatanka comes out and makes a save. Vince is shouting that Tatanka wouldn't even be there, so they really set up the next match for, you know, kind of the next feud, I should say. Tatanka and Bam Bam really like setting up that feud. So I thought that
Tatanka's had a history with Sherry already too,
right?
So, you know, it's just crazy. Like, I go back to how they weave all this stuff together. Like, it's just crazy how, like, you know, you can go from Luna and Bigelow all of a sudden meeting together to that being the ploy that, you know, they attack Sherry, which brings Tatanka out, which furthers that feud. It's just like all those dots getting connected. It's just awesome how they did that.
Yeah, I thought that was really, really solid. I also, in my notes, I have that Logan Crossland does do the best Luna voice. I think he does actually better than she does it, so I have to give him props for that. And then definitely during the post-fight, Sherry's tits were, like, out. So they're definitely making this, like, Sherry and Luna's, you know, big-time fight, big-time cat fight. Of course, Macho's cheering it on, so they definitely made it a big deal. So fun opener.
Yes, sir.
Then we get the Steiner brothers out for a job. This was kind of felt like a long squash match compared to some of the other ones. Like,
it felt
like they usually just like beat down in like a minute or two. Like, this, I don't know how long it was, but it was definitely felt longer than their normal. I actually like the jobbers beforehand. Like, they looked like two bums. Like, most of the jobbers usually look like bums. Like, these guys especially looked like bums. And they're kind of like clapping like they had a chance. Like, they just look like ridiculous. Like, ah, oh, we're crap. But they were kind of look like joking around. And then they did talk about how they're 13 days away from King of the Ring. And then kind of talked about how there's that, like you just talked about, how there's this, you know, tag team for team tag team match that's kind of coming up. So they're kind of bringing that up. There's kind of been no feud for them, but they're like, all right, this is a big deal. Whoever's going to win it. You know, it's one of those things where I get why you have it on the card, but it kind of means nothing. And really there's not a feud they've set up yet. So, you know, it's hard to get invested in that, but like, it is what it is. Like, that's just part of any type of wrestling, is like, guys got to get paid. I get it.
Exactly. And then after that, we get a quick Mr. Hughes squash, who is like, I don't even know what he's doing anymore. Like, he's not, like, I thought he was cool at first when he first came out, and he's kind of, you know, impactful, but like, there's just nothing to him. I just feel like they need to, you know, involve him in something to get him, you know, me and more invested in him. But for right now, there's just, I'm really not getting anything out of his matches right now.
Yeah, I there was a chant going on, and I swore they were saying Hogan sucks. That was my note for this match.
That was me.
And there was like a chance. I'm like, that might be Hogan sucks chant, but yeah, he's kind of middling new guy. They also, I think they're trying to save money, but they said that Harvey was out sick, so like he's not even with his manager. So it's right. Like tough to build a character. So. It was okay. The only thing that was funny, though, Bobby started talking about golfing, and he talked about how he had this last time he went out, he had 3 holes-in-1s and shot a 52. So it was, you know, more. This was more time for Bobby just to make jokes than anything else. So
exactly, and I'm all right with that. Like, if you're gonna at least, you know, bore me with the match, at least have Bobby right. Throw something on there that's, you know, gonna make it worthwhile.
Yeah. And then we get the Mean Gene updates. Again, shits on Hogan, saying this is his first defense since Mania. So they're really kind of mocking him for that. He does kind of, you know, I think something important that he talks about, the Brett's the number one seed. But then he also mentions that the winners were advanced. So clearly they like booked ahead of time, thinking, okay, we got to make sure it's clear that only winners advance going forward. Even though Crush and Perfect hit, or Doink and Perfect had like 5 chances to get in. But right. From now on, it's winners only. And then they did throw in that there's a bonus match that Michaels and Crush are going to fight each other. So it's a big bonus match outside of, you know, just the King of the Ring tournament plus the tag match.
Right. Yep. And then from there we get a Jim Duggan squash, which being on, like at first I knew this card was on Memorial Day, but then it didn't hit me because he, you know, he wins the match and then after the match, like it's a nothing squash, nothing to like. After the match, he sings a Pledge of Allegiance, and it's not hitting me that it's Memorial Day. So I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, why? What is he like? Did he just go into business for himself here? Like,
yep.
I'm just thinking.
He probably
like,
did.
Right. He probably still did. Right. But then I'm like, oh, that's right. It's Memorial Day. He's working this whole shtick with Yoko about you know, American versus Japanese, Samoan, whatever. But. Yeah, it's it just kind of like when I first saw it, I'm like, what the hell is he doing? But it's just one of those things you kind of have to see. Like it's that hokey, you know, it's that.
Yeah.
Vince told him to, God damn it, you better sing the damn national anthem out there or pledge allegiance and do it right. Don't fuck up a single word out there.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I did like that. I you know, it just brings energy. I think Duggan, he's so over. There's huge USA chants when he's out there. So I like that. That's his character, right? Like that's what his character would do. So
yeah, he's the one like 80s holdover. I don't mind. Like I don't like Kamala. I didn't like Money Inc. for a while when they're feuding with the 80s guys. They're kind of turning the corner. I don't like Hogan or Beefcake or any of them. But Duggan, I don't mind because he kind of you know what to expect with him. So and he's a good brawler too. Still so.
Yeah, I've been like impressed with him in this like little run. Like, mm-hmm. I think he has more energy. I think the crowd is super behind him. Like, he would have been like a guy like, okay, the crowd's definitely maybe giving up on him. Like, no, they're rapid for him every time.
Right. So,
and then we get again a 1-2-3 kid. I just put such a nerd with his interview. So like pretty much the same interview again. I just have that he's crazy mullet, but I confused why he still won't accept more Razor's money. So he's still, right. Still saying he's not going to accept the money.
Yeah, it's 5,000 now instead of 2,500. Okay. So they upped the dollars and he's still turning it down. So it's driving Razor crazy, which kind of bleeds into the next match with which I like how they set this up, and you got a Razor squash at the end, and it's not like your normal squash where the jobber's kind of getting some offense in and they're teasing it like, okay, is he gonna get upset again? Like, is this in his head now where, you know, the jobber like he's so focused on Kid and the money and he's just kind of like lost his mind where right you kind of like, you know, see a little vulnerability in Razor. So this is a cool little squash match to see. I like how they work that, and it definitely develops Razor's character.
Yeah, and like to begin the match, he like rolls him up right away, and you like Vince kind of almost sells it like, oh, he's gonna lose again, like another one. So
right,
that was an awesome like start to it. I thought Razor was also more vicious. Macho did a great job again. This is where he like stands on the table and leading the 1-2-3 chants to get the crowd really to know like, hey, this is what we're supposed to do. I thought Razor had a vicious Razor's Edge to end the match, so I thought it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have they announced that Yoko is running late, or Yoko's arriving late. So Fuji kind of does an interview with Vince McMahon. This is the first thing I've seen Fuji do good, but Vince kind of asks him about WrestleMania and he kind of says, I forgot about it. I don't know what you're talking about. So I kind of like that. Like, hey, they're putting it behind them and like, oh, that never really happened. So I did kind of like that. Like, I thought that was something good from Fuji. The first thing he's done. And then Duggan's up in the balcony egging on, Yoko that he wants to fight. So I put in my notes, just give me Yoko Duggan. Like, I think the crowd's ready for it. The crowd wants it. Crowd doesn't even care about Hogan. Like, this is the feud that's been built up way better than Hogan.
Yoko. Oh, I wish Duggan was the guy to get the 9-second victory over at WrestleMania. Like, he's doing such a better job at, like, it's such more of a natural feud than Hogan and Yoko is. So
yeah,
I'm liking it.
I agree. So yeah, that was I thought a great ending to Raw.
Yes, sir. I agree.
So let me do some plugs. Yep. We got one little more superstar.
Yeah, so we got, you know, something for everybody with football season coming back. We got sports, you know, we got wrestling every week on or every day on this North South Connection feed. We got new shows covering Crockett era, covering the PG era, with Chrono. So, and you know, one show I just kind of want to highlight that you know, I've been listening to, I like this concept is, you know, No Holds Barred, they're doing like the history of the title changes in the WWF. And I just listened to it this morning before work, and I'm loving this because I like the concept of they're taking, like, you know, not just the match itself, but like the impact it had, the reaction it had, and kind of everything that goes into it. It kind of like reminds me of like our version of the show, like where we're not just like creating matches up and down. We're kind of like taking the minutiae of everything into it. So definitely check that out. Like, that's something I just wanted to spotlight as far as what kind of caught my eye lately.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you mentioned, this week in the NFL return with Cowboy and Senior and D'Amato. So NFL season, we, you know, kind of joked about the Bears on their Super Bowl run started off. You know what that means with Jordan Duncan? So we just added on North South the AEW podcast.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you watched the now I'm gonna screw up the
all
pay per view. All outs.
Yeah,
from Chicago. Yeah. So I didn't see the whole thing, but I watched a bunch with my friends. It was a ton of fun. And, you know, that was a perfect podcast as AEW's, you know, caught some massive momentum in the past couple months. So great to kind of hear about them.
Did you see the news today? Did you see the Owen Hart news?
Yeah, I saw the Owen Hart. Yep.
That's
so
awesome.
So just the thinking ahead, right? So it's pretty cool of them to do that for Owen. And obviously they went through the family, so it's not like a cheap, you know, I'm just gonna pick a, you know, random charity to throw on there. It's something the family wanted to do. And I think you know, a guy we haven't you know, hasn't been really around the new gen much, but like one of my favorites from the new gen.
Oh, he will be. Yeah,
so yeah, he'll
I can't wait.
Yep, can't wait for him. So that was awesome. And then you know, as always, one of my favorites is the Now Into the Rumble. I haven't listened to one that dropped today, but you know, fun stuff every time. You're not gonna get more Bushwhacker Luke than anywhere else in the world. And now is the Rumble, so great stuff as always. And of course, the Quadapod, so the original Place to Be network, the Pop Experience, and the Jenny Position. Also, you know, subscribe and rate and help out, help grow the network.
Yes, sir.
All right, on to the last superstars.
Yeah, so I'll let you take this one.
All right. So again, this is still tape from May 4th. So this is like super old. Now we're talking on June. We're into June, and now we have the early May thing. But it couldn't have started any better than Papa Shango Bret Hart.
Yes.
So it's funny because PTB, the last episode they did was the Survivor Series Showdown from 92, which was a title match for Papa Shango Bret Hart. This is, I guess, the big rematch of that. it starts awesome with Shango burning a picture of Bret Hart and saying, I'm coming after you. So kind of like that beginning, like giving character work to Shango. The crowd is, Bret comes out to a massive pop. Like, the crowd is all for Bret. They want him to be, you know, champion or whatever. Like, he is the superstar of this taping. The match was kind of a little bland compared to you know, to, like, talk about their Survivor Series showdown match or the, sorry, yeah, Saturday Night's Main Event. That was kind of bland. There was a headlock in the middle. Like, it's only a 5-minute match. Like, you don't need a long headlock spot, especially with Brett's. Like, a guy like Brett who can do a ton of variety of moves and will take other people's offense well. I just don't think Shango has a lot compared to the, at least compared to the other match. Like, it was, I think, it kind of slowed it down. And they went to the break during the headlock. So it was okay, but Brett went over and the crowd definitely was all about it. Shango is like a jobber, but he's awesome character work, and he makes him feel, he kind of makes you feel like he's credible because he does all these goofy things, like Brett the Pitcher, like he's got a chance, but of course it makes sense that Brett would win.
Right. And it's, you know, like, I thought this was like a solid match. Like, I thought Brett pulled what he could out of Shango, who's like very, 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 very limited, but Shango, like, I think the reason why he went to headlock and things like that is because the stuff he did try, he was kind of sloppy. So I don't know if, like, you know, he was kind of nervous of doing, you know, or hurting Brett maybe, or doing something crazy.
I just feel like he's very good.
Right. Yeah, that too. And, like, there's a spot where Brett's, like, basically jumping into his arms to get him to do a backbreaker, and he almost drops him. So it's like, yeah, holy shit, dude. Like, the guy's handing you a decent match, and you can't even take it, so... Yeah, Shango's a character. I don't judge him on his, you know, match quality. I like the character itself. So, this is just something cool to see for visual.
Yeah,
not anything you're gonna think of as a good match. So
yeah, he's Taker's
fun way to start the show.
He's Taker's friend. He's got some charisma to him, but he's
right
in ring. He's nothing. So
exactly. Yeah, nothing more from there. So from there we get a head shrinker squash, which seems to be all they ever do lately, his squash matches.
Yep.
I still like them. Like, I like their whole get up and how bought in they are to the characters, so they don't seem stale, even though they probably are with, you know, all they've done is squashes lately. But yeah, it was a okay match. After that we get another one of these, like, face to faces with Brett and Razor. So talking about, like, the King of the Ring, how they're going to meet off in the first round, how Brett's the number one seed. One thing I wish they would have mentioned is that, you know, since Brett's the one seed, that makes Razor, like, the lowest seed in the tournament. And right. I wish they kind of would have, like, played off that and, like, hey, you know, you lost to this jobber, so you have to be the lowest one in the tournament. You know, like, that would have been kind of cool to add that little touch to it. But, you know, Brett kind of rags on him and stuff, which... I like the build because I like these two. I like the chemistry between these two, and I like the two kind of, you know, you add Sean, Taker, and all that. They're two of the stalwarts of this era, so I'm okay with that.
Yep. And then do I have to talk Kamala? Can I skip Kamala? Yeah.
That's why I purposely gave it to you.
Oh, you plan this out, yeah. So Kamala with my buddy Phil Apollo, another match. There's again without Slick, so again I think it's because the managers aren't traveling anymore. So they kind of mentioned Slick is still around. He's really taught Kamala everything, which kind of silly. But Kamala Vince does mention, like, Slick's church, so I'm sure that's why he's kind of bringing it up. And then we got Lex Luger squash. So again, he does the, you know, mirror posing. He's a guy that good for squashes because he gets a lot of heat. He can extend his squashes because, like, he's one of those guys where, like, you know, he's got to do his posing, kind of like does the mirror spot. Like, I like that stuff, so I like that. The only thing I'll mention that they do a good job here is to talk about King of the Ring here. They did it for the head shrinkers, right? Talking about the tag team match, like, it's a big deal, even though it's really not. But Luger, they really talk about how the match with Tatanka, like, I can't believe it's happening. These guys are both undefeated, like, we haven't seen this in forever. So I did like that during Luger, like, talk about how this might be the match of the King of the Ring.
Exactly. Yeah, I like how they built that. And you know, if you're going to have a squash and everything's kind of boring, at least have it be with guys that have a story that you can kind of, you know, listen to while the match is going on. So I like the video of that. And then after the Luger squash, we get another Mr. Hughes squash who kind of, he's just there right now. Like, there's nothing really noticeable with him. Like you mentioned, we got the King of the Ring update. You know, they're just letting us know about the matches on the King of the Ring. So you already went through that. And then to finish it, we get a Smoking Gun squash, which was kind of fun. Like, they're You know, I know everyone thinks like, oh, they're the mainstays of a bad tag era, which is mostly true. But them and the Steiners, especially Head Shrinkers, like they're adding like a new touch to this like tag division that I like. They do this cool ass like backdrop into a pile driver tag team finisher that I've never seen before. And I thought it came out of nowhere. Like I thought that was an awesome move. Like I'm like, oh shit. Like I've seen like Ming and Barbarian do it into like a power bomb, but I've never seen it into like a pile driver. So I thought that was cool. So
it's just I'm not sure if they've ever done that again.
Right? I randomly saw it on Twitter, like somebody posted it. I'm like, oh shit, like that's the move I just watched. So I don't know if it was like the one time and they thought, oh shit, that's not really that safe, like how quick you're doing that. But that's something to check out. You know, like this episode's not that good, but that's something I would check out.
Yeah, remember they did a different, I'm not great with the wrestling moves, but they did something again. Like the time before, they did a different power move where Bart messed it up badly. Right. So I think they were trying to figure out their finisher and they're probably just like, this is not safe. Like someone's definitely gonna hurt one of these two. So, the only thing I had was I actually thought Mr. Hughes looked good here compared to his other matches. Like this was the first time he looked good. And the other thing I like about him is with his outfit, he like, I'm sure it's because he's fat and lazy, but he like doesn't run the ropes, kind of because he's in like this like bodyguard businessman type. So like he kind of doesn't run the ropes, and I kind of like that about him a little bit. But again, I don't know if that's actually like him like saying like, okay, I'm gonna play off like I'm a bodyguard, like I'm not gonna do like standard wrestling. But I did kind of like that. Did kind of like that with his character. But yeah, not that squash, but I actually thought he looked menacing in that squash compared to the Raw one where he like really didn't.
Right. I mean, you can tell this is obviously like you said, a long ago taped show. Like it's definitely, you know, fodder and we're going to get, you know, something better with the go home, the King of the Ring. So this is kind of just a placeholder right now.
Yep. And then we got one last event center with nothing interview with Mr. Perfect, but then they kind of bring up they have Shawn face to face, Shawn and Crush, or Shawn Michaels and Crush. I just wrote their bullets are out of control, but okay, good job on that. They've kind of built up this match. They're building up a match that really didn't have much build. So try to get that one into like, hey, here's another match. You're going to see a King of the Ring. So I think a good way to kind of go out of the superstars.
Yes, sir. They'll throw stuff at you. If you're paying attention, they kind of reward you okay, remember, this is what's going on. So they do a good job of doing that.
Yep. All right. So on to awards, I think.
Yep. You're right. All right.
Most new gen outfits.
I probably have to go. Well, Macho had it on the second episode of Raw, the Memorial Day of Raw.
Okay.
He had this like really cool black and green and pink. Like he's got some cool mixtures on there. So I'm gonna go with Macho.
No, I did have to note about the Smoking Guns. Their mullets are the same. It's like they went to the same perm person, and like they have the exact as they're leaving. Like they actually watch the. It's kind of a cool ending of the match. I kind of put like they're looking at the video screen and kind of watch them redo this thing. But their mullets are like the same. They're just different color. So I'm gonna give the Smoking Guns mullets the
awesome
best outfit because it literally looks like they got the same perm together on their mullets.
Awesome choice.
Most new gen performer.
I'm gonna go Doink.
Okay, Doink, yeah.
You know he's kind of, you know, mixing this like aggression and technical style, so I'm gonna go with him.
I'm gonna go Bam Bam. I thought his match with Marty was really good. I thought a lot of fun, and he's finally building a character that like looks credible. Mm-hmm. And like you kind of mentioned, like has multiple feuds now going on with Tatanka, and even trying to go for the title. So I like that one. Worst match or segments. There was a lot of bland.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what's worse. Like, there's, you know, like all these squash matches kind of run into each other. So I don't know if that's like, I would say is worse. I don't know. Do you have anything that pops in your head?
There's like just bland.
Yeah, like, I'm just gonna go with Old Faithful and just say Kamala.
Just go with the Kamala. Right. Always. Who else is banned on a squash? I'll go Mr. Hughes for his first. His Raw one was kind of bad.
There you go.
Best match. There's definitely two or three.
Bam Bam and Marty for me.
Bam Bam. And I'll go the other. I'll go Doink and Mr. Perfect. Even though the double Doink failed massively.
The fresh Doink
was terrible.
Right.
Stock up.
I'm going to go Razor because I'm liking his character development. He was kind of dull for a little bit there. So it's kind of crazy how a loss has kind of revamped his whole character and my interest in him. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Razor.
I'm going to Dug It again. I thought again, that even though he's only on the Memorial Day one, like, I want to see that Yoko Dug It match. Like,
me too.
They've invested so much time. Like, it's time to pull the trigger.
Exactly.
Stuck down for anyone?
Mr. Hughes. He's it's not really his fault. Like, he's fine in the ring. It's just they're not doing anything with him.
Right.
Like, you know, make him somebody's bodyguard. Make him interfere in somebody else's match. And, you know, I know stuff's coming, but
yeah,
for right now, yeah, he's not doing anything for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go Shango just because, like, listen to PTB talked about the
you
Brett
bastard
title match, like, of how good that match was. This, man, it was so disappointing to watch him kind of suck versus Brett. Like, that could have been a good match. And especially because the superstars before had just been so bad, like, so mm-hmm. nothing happening. Like, that kind of needed, like, a good match.
Now you just fucked up, man. He's going to have a voodoo doll.
I know.
And we feeling pains and shit. And start throwing up black shit in the morning. So don't be surprised.
Definitely, yeah. Different.
You know what did it.
I know it was coming after me.
Right.
I still love you, Godfather. Don't worry.
There you go.
Maybe not comma as much, but definitely.
Right.
We got a lot of bad comma matches to go to. All right. So I think next time there's one more Raw and Superstars on the way to King of the Ring. So our plan is to kind of go through that
right,
next time.
Week.
Go home week, and then maybe talk a little bit about King of the Ring. The following episode would be just King of the Ring, and we'll kind of cover that since it's a, you know, long pay-per-view, a lot of good stuff. So we'll kind of talk about the build-up for King of the Ring next time. So that's our plan for the next month. So
yeah,
fun stuff, fun pay-per-view. Yeah, fun stuff, even though the Superstars were a little weak. I think they're two great Raw matches. A bunch of good character build, and your boy Hogan was all over it, so you know it's A+.
right.
So until next time, thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.
Sure.